Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Boy, the Titans exercised some demons in Indianapolis over the weekend. Nice win there. They get the field goal block, and then they go for the jugular with the long pass. Great win for the Titans.
It was really satisfying, and it was but you know, during the week, I mean, I get to go to practice every day, and I'm there and watching and just seeing the focus and the attention to detail that this team has week to week, daily, in their preparation and their practices. I mean, that's what it takes, especially when you get down to this last month and when you've got a chance to get into the tournament. But that ball game up there had a lot of elements to it. But the biggest word I think that comes through with that win is resilience, because it started out not really good for the Titans in a place where not good things have happened to them, which really had nothing to do with this football team, but still, you talk about exercising some ghosts, and you know, you start out, you know, first with a belly flip play that goes for 9 yards, and all of a sudden it's going back the other way in the Colts' hands, and you're kind of sitting and wondering, you know, what is the world is going on? And to me, the way this team showed resiliency and the way they rallied, and plus they continue to find ways to stay in and to win football games. And that's what you have to have down the stretch, because down the stretch, guys, everybody's dealing with injuries. And so you've got to find a way to get it done with who you have on the field. That was very, very satisfying for the players, for the coaching staff, for the organization, and for Titans fans.
You know, it's interesting, Coach. It's just like a season. You just want to get into the fourth quarter of the season. You want to get into December and give yourself a shot at the postseason. Well, those road games are the same way. I've had a bunch of guys tell me who coached and played in the league, hey, man, you go on the road, you're trying to give yourself a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter. You're doing everything you can to set yourself up to have an opportunity to win in the fourth quarter. And despite the setbacks, that's exactly what they did on Sunday.
No, they did. And they found ways. And it wasn't like they were tricking anybody. I mean, they just played good, fundamental, detailed football. I mean, guys, look, all of these blocks that they've been able to pull off for huge game-winning plays in the field goal game, those blocks don't just happen by chance. I mean, those things are planned, they're worked on, they're detailed out, and then they have to be executed. You know, you talk about timing in a National Football League game. Executing that part of a field goal block probably takes as much timing as anything in a National Football League game. And to be able to execute it like they've done it in two really critical games is impressive. But it goes to preparation, and it goes to attention to detail, and it goes to using every avenue that you have to win a football game, because they're all so precious now this last month of the season.
Y'all powered by the Tennessee Lottery, hanging out today, Acme Feed and Seed, doing our show. And down below us on Broadway is...
Your posse?
My posse is not on Broadway, but the entire NASCAR world is. So if you have...
That might be your posse.
Any inclination to see NASCAR stars or come and enjoy some of that, jump on down here. Also, one quick reminder, we're building a field of toys to benefit the Salvation Army's Forgotten Angels. It's our annual toy field, presented by Planet Fitness. That's coming up Tuesday, December 10th at Nissan Stadium. Get yourself ready. While you're out doing your holiday shopping, remember those in need this holiday season. Pick up a gift for a senior, for a toy, for a youngster. Help us build a field of toys at Toy Field. Drop your donation today at an area Planet Fitness location, or just bring it by to us and come visit with us on December 10th at Nissan Stadium for a full list. It's the best.
Yep.
For a full list of participating locations, visit 1045thezone.com. Thanks to State Water Heaters. Get you a State Water Heater. Sprint, Coca-Cola, Sudden Service, convenience stores. Visit 1045thezone.com. Again, for details.
Mickey Ryan, Brent Doherty, Promotech Matt, Kirby's here. We're on the third floor. You can't come up here, but you can enjoy Acme Feed and Seed, as
anytime.
Coach Mack said.
Yeah, just enjoy it on your own.
It's one of the great places in Nashville to enjoy. And Coach Mack with us until 3 o'clock. And, Coach, we talked about the big field goal block, but I wanted to ask you more specifically about how that play was born. And I would think in my feeble football mind that Kalu getting that jump off the edge put something on tape that concerned special team units that would end up playing the Titans and maybe presented the Titans with an opportunity to do something off of that. And Cruikshank, able to get through, puts one hand, each hand on either side of the backside of the two guys he's going between and propels himself in front of the kicker. He almost overruns the play. But a beautiful concept, I think, in terms of football play, but also great execution.
Yeah, well, let's just talk about the genesis of any type of, first of all, field goal protection. You've always got to start protection from inside out, and especially those wings. They have to get their inside foot, you know, right on the outside foot, and then interlock it with the tackle that's next to him. And what they're always taught is protect with the inside hand first, and then to shove out. It's hardest to block It's hardest to block a field goal from the outside. That's where it's the hardest to block from. Now, they already had one previously tipped on the inside, all right? So they're already a little nervous in that center guard triangle with the pressure. But what you are saying is 100% correct. Once you put on tape that you are able to time snaps and you have somebody that is quick enough to skim the edge and also is be able to lay out, and you've got to be able to lay your hand on the ball. You don't ever swipe at it with your hand. It's like catching an outfielder catching a ball. You don't swipe down at the ball. You put your glove hand on the football, and that's what you do when you block it from the outside. Now, they were so outside conscious, and then what Cruikshank did is that catapult, you know, that pommel horse move that you saw him work. That's what you work. You work the pommel horse move. That's what you work. Because you can do that from the outside, and what that does is when you do that, you're able to not only knock down just a weak inside hand that's on you, knowing that the tackle also has to protect from inside out, you're knocking down his weak outside hand too. Are you following me? So when you do that with that pommel horse move, and especially if they open the gate like the wing did, in that ball game, and you've got somebody that's got enough quicks and has got to jump on the snap, and jumps on the snaps come from a lot of triggers, and so, you know, I know which one they had on it. I don't care to say it on the air, but here's what they did do. Okay, they worked it in detail in practice, and it was, look, that thing was a game changer. That thing and the atomic bomb to Khalif Raymond were game changers, and that's what you've got to have when you're playing on the road in division games late in the year.
Coach, let's take a couple calls. You ready?
I love when our listeners call me.
Let's go Bill in Nashville, because I think he wants to kind of stay on this kick blocking subject.
Word.
Bill, welcome in. Say it to Coach Mack.
Thanks, guys. Coach, I love hearing you talk ball. Anytime you're on, I like to listen to you. You're just awesome.
Bill, that's so kind of you. And guess what? I love to talk ball, so we're both equal. Let's go.
As far as the special teams, I think Cruikshank is just a really valuable member of the team. He's always doing something on special teams to make a play. And I think all the guys on special teams, I think they've lifted the whole team. I'd just like to hear your thought about all that.
Yeah, Bill, and you're 100% right, but this all stems from the genesis that it is the detail and the attention that John Robinson in his talent acquisition, John Robinson in the people he brings in here, Mike Vrabel, because he knows how much special teams are important, Craig Aukerman, the special teams coach. These guys put so much attention and detail to it, not only with the personnel they bring in, but training people up from the start. Mickey, you and I stood together at training camp early on, and I said, look, when special teams starts, a lot of people kind of walk away. I said, Mickey, come on back here with me. I want you to watch this, because you're going to watch and see who's got a chance to make this football team just watching who they're working with on protection on the punt team. I mean, that's some of the inside game that you need to learn. And so when you're looking at this, Dane Cruikshank played at Arizona. He was a multiple-purpose defensive back at Arizona, played for Chuck Cecil there. You know, Chuck Cecil, and I called Chuck, you know, when we drafted the kid and said, Chuck, what are we getting? He said, Mac, you're getting a really tough, smart player. He said he's a dynamic teams player because he loves contact. He's smart. He's fast. He's tough. And he's proven to be that. And so, I mean, you have seen him. When I first got into the league – you know, with Mike Ditka, you know, those first Bears teams I was on before there were salary cap restrictions and free agency, you had six or seven, five, six, seven-year guys that you kept on your roster just for special teams. That's why they were there. You know, I had my starting three linebackers, but the other four linebackers that I was in charge of there, they were all special team starters and had been in the league multiple years. Well, you can't do that anymore. So you have to retrain new guys when you bring them in. Cruikshank is a beautiful, beautiful special teams player.
There you go, Bill. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go next to John in Clarksville. John, welcome into 3HL and say hey to Coach Mack.
Hey, guys. Coach.
Yes, sir.
Explain the Tampa 2.
John, I love the question, and we're going to talk some ball now. All right, here's what Tampa 2 is. It was named clearly for, you know, Tony Dungy used it down there at Tampa. The first, and you have to have a middle linebacker that can run the middle of the defense, all right? The first middle linebacker to run the middle of the defense in Tampa 2 was Hardy Nickerson. Hardy Nickerson was from Cal, all right? He was a very athletic middle linebacker. And so what Tampa 2 does, you can play it either out of base or out of sub packages. First of all, it starts with a four-man rush. And then what you do normally in cover two is a zone defense that employs five under, two deep zone, all right? You've got the two corners that are rolled up, all right? You've got the three linebackers, or nickel, inside that are playing. They are playing middle hook, then they're playing each hook to the side of the hashes, all right? That's your basic five under, two deep. And you got two deep safeties. Tampa 2, what Tampa 2 does is you take your Mike backer, you line him up about 2 yards deeper behind your other two hook players, and then what you do is he's reading. He reads the number three receiver, and he is going to be the vertical runner in the middle of the field, runs right down the railroad tracks. The railroad tracks are the hash marks. And if your Mike linebacker can read the number three receiver, he always opens to the three receiver side. If it's a 2x2, he opens to the side that the running back steps to. And then he's able to run down the middle of those railroad tracks. And so basically what that allows you to do is two things. Now your safeties that are playing too deep, their aiming points can be wider, because now basically what they've got, you started out in a two deep look with corners rolled up, but now you've got a middle runner. So what you're doing is you're playing half cover two, half cover three, because now you've got a middle runner and he's responsible for taking the middle of the football field away. We had a great example of it in our ball game against Indy. The interception that Logan Ryan made, he started out as a nickel, started out bogeyed down as a nickel, rolled back to the safety. Rashawn Evans became the middle linebacker. He ran the railroad track, stayed inside, because if they run two number three, then number three will turn back in beside him. There's a huge hole between where number, if you run to number three. If you'll stay down the middle of it and make him run a big hump, then the quarterback has to elevate the throw. You saw what Brissett had to do. That was Tampa 2. You had a middle runner in perfect position. Logan Ryan rolled back to the half field safety. The quarterback thought it was three deep to start with. It ended up being two deep with a middle runner. He had to overthrow the runner coming down the seam in the middle because of the great position that Rashawn Evans was in, running down the railroad tracks. Logan Ryan picks it off. Big, big play for the Titans. Tampa 2. It started out with Tony Dungy. Hardy Nickerson was the first one that did it. It's a hybrid between a true 5-under 2-deep coverage and a 3-deep post-play coverage.
Real quick, the technique for the middle backer, because he's turning and running, right? You can't turn your head when that, because the nature of the offense early on when they came across that defense would be to hit that railroad track, that seam route, right? So the inside linebacker can't turn his head. He looks for the receiver to look for the ball and then get his hand up.
Yeah,
is that the technique?
But he can't run to the number three, because if he runs to number three, they'll just bend him around behind him. What he's got to do is position himself so that what he's looking at as he's running, because the safeties now too are in tune to that. They know that the elevation of the throw is going to have to be higher. If you've got a true middle runner that's taking away that middle seam play, then the elevation's going to be higher, and it gives your two safeties a chance to directional delivery key and key quicker on the ball. If the throw is thrown on a line because he's running too flat as a middle runner, then it negates the defense. Okay, and then your better middle linebackers. I mean, Keith Bullock learned how to do it tremendously here for me. He's got to learn to read number three, and a lot of them, you read number three. If three goes out, somebody else is coming in. We were playing a great example of that. You remember when he was Mr. Monday Night and had three picks off of Drew Brees? They were running a dagger route on cover two, taking number three and trying to turn him out to suck Bullock up on him. Bullock did not take that bait. Three times he sunk back on the dagger or the deep dig behind him, picked off three of them. You have to have a really smart middle backer to be able to run this.
Good stuff, Coach. We got more coming up with Coach Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. If you want to jump in the mix, we got open lines, 615-737-1045. We'll get you on with the coach, and you get real ball talk. You get answers like that always. Maybe you want some answers with your internet. Well, I got some answers for you. When it comes to your internet, good enough doesn't cut it. Xfinity Internet, well, they internet better than anybody because they stream better. Yeah, you heard it right. Let me introduce you to Xfinity Flex, a personalized streaming dashboard that puts all your favorites in one place so they're not scattered across. It's a bunch of apps everywhere. It's searchable with your voice. So if you just want to say, play romantic comedies like Brent Doherty does often, it'll do it. It'll play them for you. Plus, it has over 10,000 free shows and movies. Search less, watch more with the voice-controlled streaming device. It's made just for you. It's not just easy, it's effortless, and now it's included with Xfinity Internet for no additional cost. It's simple, easy, and awesome. Get Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement and at a Flex 4K streaming device for no additional cost. It's two amazing services for the price of one. Go to Xfinity.com/Flex. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit an Xfinity store today. This ends January 7th, 2020. Restrictions apply. New performance starter internet customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.
Hi, this is
Rachel, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Dave McGinnis hanging out with us for this segment and one more segment. Like I say, when you call, you go to the front of the line. We've got Dylan who's jumping in next. Dylan's actually, he's out working now on the job. Dylan is going to talk with Coach Mack between deliveries. What's going on, Dylan?
Oh, not much. Just out here working, driving for UPS, delivering Christmas presents. I was wanting to ask Coach Mack what he thinks it would take to get Corey Davis more involved and if he thought that would be what it takes to take the offense to the next level.
Well, hey, Dylan, first of all, you know, thanks for the work you're doing because I know a lot of people are depending on those Christmas packages showing up, and thanks for calling in. Yeah, look, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, this offense, I mean, when you really want to break down the numbers since Ryan Tannehill has been the quarterback, it's been operating so efficiently, and the numbers have been exactly split as far as runs to throws. And when you're running the football as well as they are, and plus – I think it's a chicken and the egg type of situation that we're sitting here looking at. These play action passes are setting up this running game too, because now, you know, for defenses, if you're on that second level, you know, if you're playing a linebacker or you're playing in the secondary and you're playing in a zone coverage and you're in a conflict on first down and Arthur Smith's dialing up those play actions, and we've got two big combat catchers in Davis and A.J. Brown to, you know, to get those guys the ball. And really, it really doesn't matter which one of them, you know, that you use, and it's not a matter of designating one or the other. What does matter is when you put your defenses that you're playing, Dylan, into conflict situations so that they have to play the run and the pass equally, and then these play action passes, both of these receivers, Corey Davis and A.J. Brown, are excellent at those slants over the middle because their run after catch and their ability to run through. I mean, I thought Davis had a tremendous run after catch, you know, in this ball game, a very physical catch, you know, where he collided over the middle. A.J. Brown did too. And the other thing that I want to point out about both of these receivers is we are not getting the big runs that we have unless we get the blocking downfield that we are getting from these two receivers. Both of these guys, Rob Moore is their, you know, is their receiver coach. He played for me at Arizona. When he was playing, he was a great receiver, but he was also a very physical, excellent blocker and understood how important that was into the game plan too. So Corey Davis will get his catches, but he's contributing in huge ways in this game right now. That's why this offense has been so efficient in this last run that we've had.
Coach Dave McGinnis hanging out with us in this 2 o'clock hour. Coach, not practicing today, Derrick Henry, Corey Davis, Adam Humphries. We saw him get dinged up with his foot on Sunday, and you know, he had a deep shot taken to him, and you could tell he was having a whole lot of trouble running late in that game. Darren Bates didn't practice today. And then here's a couple more. Adoree Jackson, LaShawn Sims. The Titans acquired a cornerback this week, a veteran guy, Tremaine Brock. Obviously, with Adoree and LaShawn struggling right now, they needed depth at that position. how much can you get a veteran guy like him, let's say, ramped up to contribute on some packages, not everything, but some packages in a game in that short of an order?
Well, immediately. That's why you sign veterans at this yeah. time of year. Because, I mean, and plus he's been playing recently. And you know, when you sign a veteran, he knows what the NFL week is about. You know, and you can bring him in, and he doesn't have to learn the whole playbook. Now, when you bring somebody in, a veteran at this time of year, you are inserting them into game plan specific types of situations. But veteran players in this league are able to come in and insert themselves pretty quickly. And so when you that's why you sign veteran players at this time of year, because you expect them to be immediate help and they'll be ready when called upon. And the good thing about it is he has not been sitting out. I mean, he has been playing up to this point until he was released, you know, by Arizona. So I would say, you know, he'll be involved. You know, they didn't sign him just to have him watch. He'll be involved in this game plan.
It's funny you hinted at this, and I was listening to Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock last night, and your guy KB said, and here's the thing, when you bring in a vet this late in the season, he goes, it's not like it's training camp, and you just said this, and KB said it too. He goes, they're not asking him to learn the whole playbook. They're learning him. They're asking him to learn what we're doing this week.
Well, absolutely. In Oakland. No, that's 100% right. I mean, that's just the truth. KB was right. I'm right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what you do.
And it also helps to be on the road, right? Because the home fans will not be loud while their offense has the ball, so those guys on defense can actually communicate on the field.
Yeah, I mean, look, guys, in my coaching career defense, I brought a corner in during the week, and in fact, we were playing at Oakland. We were playing at Oakland, and so I told him, I said, look, here's what we're going to do, because it really didn't matter with the corners that I had at the time. I said, whichever side we're on when we flip quarters, you line up on my side and I'll tell you what to do. You know, you just line up on the side of the sideline that I am. Just look at me. I'll tell you what the call is.
I love it.
That's the old check with me deal.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, well, they'd call it in the huddle, then he'd look over at me and I'd go thirds, man, half. You know, I mean, if you get a veteran, I mean, they know what you're talking about.
I feel like during the course of my day, I have plenty of decisions to make. I need to just check with Coach Mack.
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't work out as good as that coverage did for me.
Let's hey, we got a call from Winchester. Coach Casey is on the line next. Casey, welcome to 3HL.
Hey guys, love the show. I just wondered realistically, because I would think you have to re-sign Tannehill as long as he continues to play the way he has the rest of the year. What do you think the chances with already having paid Deion Lewis that we don't sign Derrick Henry? And I'll hang up and listen.
Casey, thanks for the call, and I'm going to answer you very, very honestly and very truthfully. That now's not the time even to worry about that. You don't worry about any of that. Here's what you're concerned about right now when you're up there at St. Thomas Sports Park. You're concerned about this practice, this day, getting ready to beat the Oakland Raiders. Nobody is even thinking about that right now. And that should be – there is plenty of time to do that. And what – you know, when I was involved in these decision-making processes and I was – you know, involved with front offices when I was a head coach, assistant head coach. You never even talked about this during that time of year. And a great phrase to remember this time of year on those types of things, keep your powder dry. Keep your powder dry. You've got plenty of time to make those decisions. The decisions that you have to make right now is how you win this next football game and get in the tournament at the end of the season.
What's it like to take a team a couple of time zones across the country and to do that kind of travel? I ask that question, Coach, because we've seen some coaches take a team out maybe a little earlier, or if a team has back-to-back West Coast games, we've seen even the Titans just stay out west for those games. Is it much of a challenge, or is it just more if you don't make it one, then it's not one?
Well, now, first of all, understand this. You're not going by covered wagon, okay? I mean you travel really nice, but just time-wise, it's much easier to go from east to west to play, all right? It's much easier because you gain time. All right.
Yeah.
You gain time, and so normally, if you're going from the central or from the east to the west, and unless you've got two games in a row on the West Coast and you're traveling from the east, you normally just go on your normal time. Now, traveling west to east, it's an issue, and especially this time of year, you know, where the time difference is greater. Okay. And so when all the West Coast teams I was ever on, if we were playing a division in the East Coast, we would travel on Friday. We would get all our Friday practices done. When I was at the Rams, we traveled on Friday a lot because, you know, it's a long flight and you get all your work done Friday, and then you travel and you let them sleep in Saturday. Then you go through your Saturday routine, and then you and Saturday night meetings, and you get ready to play Sunday. Just because of the time difference, traveling to the West Coast, it's not as big an issue. It really isn't.
Great job, Howard Mighty Tennessee Lottery, live from Acme Feed and Seed downtown, ahead of a company event tonight. But we're watching all the NASCAR events going on Broadway. If you're a NASCAR fan, you really need to be down here right now. There's no telling who you could see. They're all, everybody is here. They're going to do burnouts later on tonight on Broadway, which will be fantastic.
Burnouts on Broadway.
Yes,
that sounds like a Coach Mack adventure.
You know what? I'm so sad I'm not down there. And plus, I'm not going to be able to be at the company event because I got eight people in town, like I always do. That we're doing stuff, but you guys are sitting in a great spot. Burnout on Broadway, company event at Acme. It doesn't get any better in Nash Vegas.
This is actually the one-year anniversary of the night that I learned that your truck is on the metric system, where we were at Jackson Lampley's party.
Yes,
he was
we were
going to Tennessee, and so we were at our friend Brad Lampley's house, and then you were like, hey, you and Kelly, just ride with me down to the company holiday party. So we get in the truck, and I'm like, Your speedometer read like 114. I'm like, I look out the window and it didn't seem like we were going that fast. And it was in kilometers per hour.
Yeah, you thought that F-150 was really riding smooth, didn't you?
Yeah. Really smooth for 114.
It was so great. You were sitting there in the front seat and you said, Coach Mack, are we really going this fast? I said, well, yeah, we are. And you said, that's
in Canada.
You said, that's on kilometers. And I went, so?
I said, when we get there, do you want me to fix that for you? You're like, no.
No, it doesn't make any difference. We're still going to get there.
I'm going to go as fast as Coach Mack wants to go.
That's right. Hey, that company party, Christmas party.
That was funny.
You know, it's outstanding, that company Christmas party. It'll be fun tonight, too.
Yep.
Coach, I hated to hear, you've talked a lot about Ron Rivera. You coached him with the Bears. Just such an incredible guy, incredible reputation around the league. I hated seeing what happened with him in Carolina.
Yeah, he's still got his reputation, and he's a good ball coach and a great person. But you know, that's this business. And it's especially this business, Mickey, when you get a new owner. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you get a new owner, you get somebody that buys a club for over $2 billion, and sooner or later, unless you're really having an inordinate amount of success, he's going to want his own people in there. I mean, that's just the way this business works. Ron will be coaching again, you know, wherever he wants to. I mean, he did a really, really good job there. He had some trouble keeping his, you know, his quarterback healthy. But I promise you this, you know, Ron Rivera is as quality a person and as quality a football coach as you're going to get. I tried to call him last night, and I'll speak with him. But look, it happens. All you got to do is go down the list. When I got fired, you know, I had a lot of really big time. Good ball coaches call me and say, you know, Mac, don't really think of this as an indictment on your coaching ability, because here's the list of coaches that have been fired before you.
Yeah.
And you really kind of get a perspective on it, especially when you reach the level of being a head coach in this league. I mean, that's no slam on Ron Rivera. It was just a change that a new owner wanted to make, and he's more than entitled to make it. But Ron Rivera will be okay.
It's funny, though. We looked at a list yesterday. Everybody, you know, this is list season, and everybody puts out lists of things, and it was like hot seat coaches or whatever, and his name was on it. And I told Don before the show, I was like, this is the one guy on the list I think is okay, because he didn't have his quarterback, and you can't win in this league without that.
No, but again, as I say, there were circumstances there that, you know, that were surrounding it, and the biggest one was you know, you had a new owner that spent a lot of money to buy the club and wanted to take it some, you know, do something else with his people, which is that's his right to do. And I promise you, the first person that understands that is Ron Rivera, believe me.
Coach Dave McGinnis, our guest, again brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. How good was Harold Landry on Sunday?
No, this guy has he's an ascending player. You know, anytime you grade your players, you know, during the year, and then anytime you have personnel meetings, you know, they always ask you, you know, sometimes they'll ask you, is he an ascending, a leveling off player, or is he a descending player? Because you never stay the same, okay? Right. Because if you level off, well, then sooner or later you're going down. And so, but he is an ascending player with a green arrow going up, because the things that he's done and the thing that I'm most proud of him on, I mean, That sack that he had in that game, you want to start talking ball on that sack. They had a double tackle twist game going on inside. He two-hand shocked, you know, the left tackle, Costanzo, straight back. That's number one thing that happened. And then he two-hand swiped him and started to move. And then because that two-man tackle game started to work into his inside gap where he was coming, he ran what you call a natural. He felt the presence of that tackle coming in that gap off of the two-man game and wrapped around both tackles and still got up in the middle of Brissett that caused that big interception, you know, that caused the interception for Byard. And to me, those types of things are he's getting a feel for the nuances of playing out there. But it all generates from the fact that he had a tremendous offseason, and he dedicated himself to getting stronger. He dedicated himself to technique work, and he is taking his craft very, very seriously. And you can see it every Sunday, Monday, or Thursday when he's playing. I love watching ascending players. I loved watching Jayon Brown do it. I love watching Rashawn Evans do it. I'm really liking watching Harold Landry do it.
He's got a sack every game that Big Jeff has played in.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Sacks, to me, you want to really watch where he's playing. Sacks are the ones that stand out. I mean, sacks are the ones that are easy to see. But when you watch the way he sets edges in the run game, they're playing really good run defense. Mm. He sets those edges so well, and he's an excellent tackler. You know, on the outside, he's physical. He's learning how to lock out. He's learning how to lock out, move his feet, shock and shed. All of those things are extremely. Sometimes you can get a sack just because, you know, somebody doesn't block you. You know,
well,
but when you play those other things, you're playing ball.
Well, he was also in there with the pressure and the early anticipated throw from Brissett that went high and was intercepted.
No, absolutely, so, he was. He's the guy's playing really good football, but it's because, I mean, it's not happening by chance. He started that in the offseason. He started this success right now that he's having in the offseason last year.
2 weeks ago, Oakland was the team that was in the wild card slot. Since then, they've lost by a 74-12 margin to the New York Jets and to the Kansas City Chiefs. What do we know about the Raiders? We talked with Bill Williamson, who covers them, yesterday, and he said that they are 4-1 against teams with losing records. They're 0-4 against teams with winning records, and I think he said 1-1 against teams that are 500. But 0-4 versus teams with winning records kind of stood out. They're 6-6, but their point differential is -87. What do we know about this group?
Well, first of all, none of that matters for this week. It doesn't. I mean, you know, because the National Football League is a week-to-week life that you live. And so, I mean, I do know this. I know that John Gruden has got this football team going in the direction that he wants to go. He's playing a lot of young players right now. He's really playing a lot of young players. You start looking at his roster and start looking at the rookies that are making contributions to, you know, to what's going on with him, with Josh Jacobs, you know, Alec Ingold, the fullback, Clelin Ferrell, Max Crosby, Trayvon Mullen, you know, A.J. Cole. I mean, look. He's building this team the way he wants it. You know, I've defensed Gruden a lot of years. This offense is going to be a West Coast offense. He's going to give you multiple looks with personnel groups. It's going to be the same concept, but it's going to be out of every different type of look that you're going to get. I mean, the Max Crosby, he's getting a lot of mileage out of that young kid from Eastern Michigan on one end. To me, all of those numbers that you presented, they're real, but it doesn't really matter when you get ready to play. You're going to have to be able to defend his offense. And here's the other thing, too. Look, I've taken teams into the black hole, and this is an especially unique time to be going to play in the black hole, because these are the last two home games they're ever going to have there. There's going to be a little bit different atmosphere there. And the wins that they've had this year, they've done pretty well at home. They've defended that home turf pretty well. So, believe me, Mike Vrabel is getting the Titans ready to face Oakland's best. I promise you that.
I'm going to tell you this, Coach, and you've talked about going to the black hole and how much you like the fans there. I'm going to miss that place. You know, growing up and that place and the dirt infield and having such a unique look, that's one of those stadiums from my childhood. I'm going to miss that stadium and those crazy fans being in my weekly NFL viewing schedule.
Yeah, as an opposing coach, I used to love to go in there. Now, I didn't love the locker room. I don't like the facilities. It's a dump. But but on the field and the aura out there on the field, knowing the teams that have played there. And then, look, that group down there in the black hole, I told you this when I was coaching. I used to walk down there before the game and talk to all of them. because, I mean, they're just, you know, I was talking to Rob Moore Monday of this week just about it because he coached out there at Oakland. He said, Mike, I used to ride the train in on Saturday with these people, you know, when they were getting ready to tailgate. You know, wow. And they're just, you know, they're doctors and lawyers and just normal people that all of a sudden they dress up for Halloween and lose their mind in the black hole. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It really, as an opposing team, I love going in there and playing there.
Well, enjoy one last visit out there Sunday, and I can't wait to hear the call with you and Mike Keith, as always. It's always great stuff, and appreciate the time today, Coach Mack. Thank you.
Guys, absolutely. Have a great time down there. Have a great time this evening. See you.
Yes, sir. Coach Dave McGinnis brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plan. So we come back, the Titans have a new cornerback. Jim Wyatt caught up with him. We will hear from Terrain Brock when we return. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. 104.